The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
We just love Max, and I've asked Max really just share his heart. There's some things happening in Ukraine that I really want Max to be a bit vulnerable with, and it's not so much of preaching the word today as it is transferring some of the heart that he's carrying to the body of Christ that we can gather around him and love on him. So this is going to, I don't know what you're going to do yet, but I want to give you freedom to really just to do things a little differently. Okay. And to go with what's in your heart and to share so that we can get a sensing of what's happening in Ukraine so we can bless you. Okay?
Thank you.
Stretch your hands towards Max. Father, we bless Max. We bless the work that he's doing there. God, we bless his heart for the orphans, for the widows, for the prostitutes. God, for the most beautiful of people who are just in the trenches in being lost and where life has just hit them. But God, that Max sees the beauty in the individuals. And Lord, I pray that we would just capture something of your heart today, of how you see the prostitutes, how you see the pimps, how you see the orphans, how you see the widows, how you see those, God, that are struggling in life. And to give us a heart. We bless you. We thank you. We bless Max. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Yay, it's on. Good morning, everybody. You know, this morning in one of the rooms we prayed, hold on. And I also got prayed for, and it's so fun to be in a circle with so much coffee breath. Do you like coffee? It was like, wow, I love the smell. Everybody just had coffee and they're just, you know, they're prophesying and all you can smell is coffee. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. You guys, so happy to be back here. I am always happy to go home. Thank you for these. Thank you. I'm going to keep one. This is awesome. I do want to share a little bit about Ukraine. I don't like politics. Do you like politics? I don't really like politics. I have to do a lot of that for my job to know the law and, I mean, work with the government a lot. So I don't like it on the days off. But I will share a little bit. And as I'm going to share, you might see some pictures of Ukraine. The day I was flying out of Ukraine to come here, I walked down, of course, those streets in Kiev. And that's kind of what I saw. Maybe we should get the lights or something. Can you guys see? Thank you. So this is one of the places where people are just hanging out there. I mean, they're guarding their territory. They were guarding their street. And I mean, they say it's a square on the news, but you know the news. They're not always saying the right thing. So the square is actually about 8 miles long. It's not really a square. This is just one of the places where they held where they had the barricade against the police. And maybe there's more pictures, but all of that, I mean, to me, this is the streets that we came with teams and saw and took pictures of. They are pretty streets. They were. Now it all looks like a war zone. And the cobblestone or those roads are totally, dug out. See this halfway? Look at that. Half of it is gone. The other half is still there. They pulled out all of that stone, all of that rock, and they put it in those bags to create a barricade. And they knocked down a lot of billboards to stop the tanks, which they did. I mean, the barricades that they built, people that are on the streets, you have to know, maybe on the news, I heard they would say that it's homeless people. Well, I know homeless. Those are not homeless people. The ones that are on those streets, they're people that believe for freedom for their nation. There's people that gave up their jobs, left their families behind, and they're there because they believe for the freedom. So they were there building all of that, all of these barricades to stop the police, the military, and all that. And in the middle of all of that, there was a prayer tent. Isn't that awesome? There was a line to get in. Of course, I went in and I offered to, you know, to pray for people. So I did. That was the only thing that I was able to do there. It was the only thing. I wouldn't fight. I wouldn't, you know, build a barricade. But that was something that I knew was my place to do. Isn't it amazing when we have a revelation of where is our place? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Where is my place, Lord? They cook there. I mean, there's a whole self-government right there on the street. I mean, it's all tents and tents and tents, tens of tents. They were doing, each tent was doing different things. One would do medical help. The other one would do clothes. The other one would cook. You know, like each one would do certain things. So it was their own government. They're separate. And these are the people that normally go to work, have a family, live in another city, maybe live in Kyiv. Look at all that. This is the center of Kyiv, the capital in Ukraine. And to see all that, I couldn't. On the news, I saw it, of course. I heard it. I've seen it in back in my city, which is about, you know, 5-hour drive away. So I saw it all on the news. But when I got to Kyiv, it was a whole different atmosphere. It was like walking literally in the war zone. And you see all these people. They're angry, but they're in pain. They're angry because they're hurting. And nobody's hearing them. Nobody's listening to them. So they're protesting. I mean, it began with the peaceful protesting. And then it turned into this war because of the political reasons and all that. But I couldn't speak for the 8 miles I walked, except when I went into the tent to pray for people. Because that is the very spirit in us that can intercede. When you have no words to pray, when you have no words to even encourage. Because I was shocked. I was walking, I was crying. I couldn't stop crying because this is our nation. This is my nation. But I mean, forget about the borders. Forget about the language. Those are your brothers and sisters. That's God's people. So I was really just crying out to God. And I said, God, what do we do? What do we do? I mean, I could do something. I can do, tell me what to do. And he said, find your place. And I said, well, what is it? So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I started fasting when I came here for 2 weeks. And the Lord kept speaking to me about praying for Ukraine and what my place is. And you know what that place is to pray. We're fighting a spiritual battle before we're fighting that. There's a spiritual war that's going on every day, 24/7. Whether you see it on the pictures or not, whether you have a vision of the spiritual realm or not, the warfare is always happening. There's a bloody battle that we don't see, but we're in it. Are we equipped for it? Are we ready to fight and not give up? He says, be strong until the end. You know why? Because he already has the victory. I love it. I love it. It encourages me. And when I saw, if you could find that picture of the map of Ukraine, that was somebody else's picture, but it was a good picture. My city's not on there. Many cities are not on there, but it's a good map. I had a vision when I was praying and fasting for Ukraine for a while with the team, with a lot of churches. I prayed for Ukraine and we all prayed. And then the Lord gave me a vision of Ukraine, just like it was on the map, borders of Ukraine. So when I saw the borders of Ukraine, when I saw Ukraine, all the borders, every single spot around the country of Ukraine, it was all ministers, missionaries, churches, they stood with their backs to Ukraine, like this, just with their backs. And I'm praying, Lord, what is that? Explain to me. What is that? What do you mean? What is this? So they were protecting, they were guarding Ukraine. And then I said, God, what is this? And then you guys, I saw this massive explosion within the nation, a huge explosion within the country. But it wasn't the kind that destroyed the nation. It was the kind that lifted it up. And all the pieces, they were light, pieces of light. So they flew at all of these people surrounding Ukraine. surrounding you, pastors, different nationalities, different churches, different countries, different everything, missionaries. They were around the country of Ukraine, everywhere. And when this light hit them, they started to go back to their nation because that was the revival that they took back to their nation. So I believe there is a revival coming to Ukraine through all of this. I really believe there is a revival coming. Are you with me? Do you hear? Are you with this? I mean, this is not just me believing. This is the truth of the Lord. Before it gets better, it's going to get worse. But he's giving us hope that he's coming back. He's giving us hope. He's coming back. So I do want to pray for Ukraine. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for this. We thank you for the nation of Ukraine. We thank you for each church in Ukraine. We thank you for each Christian. We thank you for each child of yours, each creation of yours. We thank you, Father. And we bless the nation of Ukraine. We love you, Lord, because we know that if we have compassion and love towards this nation, you have even more of that. So we join your love towards Ukraine. We say, God, revive the spirit in Ukraine. Revive the Holy Spirit in Ukraine so that revival does come. So that everyone could see, because everybody's watching now, watching the wrong thing. Show them, manifest yourself, God. Reveal your Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself, Father God. We pray that you do send your angels to protect. And we pray that you do revive the spirits in each church, the spirit that is alive and eternal. We pray, Lord, that you do revive this revival within the nation of Ukraine. So every missionary, every pastor who is praying, interceding, fighting the spiritual battle right now would take a piece of that home to their nation, to their church, so the revival would spread in the name of Jesus. We pray for your revival, God. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father, for your protection. We thank you for your protection. You are the God that loves. You are the God that cares. You are the love. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, today we pray for this time that we are here together. You are the reason we are here. You are the reason we get together. You are the reason. You are the center of attention. You are the one. You are the guest of honor. And we honor you. We thank you, Father. So today we want to bring you. We want to bring you the offering, Lord. We want to bring you the offering. We want to bring. I want to be the offering for you today. I want to be the offering for you today, God. I am the offering for you today. I want to lay my life down at your feet so that you would do what you want to do with it. Can you just say that with me? I am your offering, Lord. I'm offering myself to you. All of me, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Isn't that good when you know he likes that kind of offering? He loves that kind of offering. All right. I will give you a little bit of an update what's actually happening, because I know you have your news. And I know you don't watch too much, amen? But when I was flying out, the whole thing happened when I was on the plane. It started, you know, they started shooting and all that when I was already out of the country. I mean, God has a perfect timing for everything. When I was leaving Kiev, I was going to the airport. And I, you know, took a cab. So I get into the cab and they're usually really nice. So we didn't get into the politics talk because I know better. But when I get out at the airport, which is an hour drive, I get out of the, you know, taxi, and I give him the money that he asked for. And then I give him a tip, which normally in Ukraine, people don't do tip. So I gave him like a big, generous 20% tip, you know, because I like to bless. So I gave him the money. And then he says, I don't want your stupid money. I want all of your money. And I'm like, well, okay, that's different. And I still have my suitcase in the trunk. And I have about, you know, I have some cash because you're traveling and you never know what happens. You kind of just, you never know about these cards. We don't really rely on the cards. So I have always cash on me because maybe the bag is overweight. All of these little details I think through. So I have some cash on me, about $280. And I said, well, I can't give you my money. And he pulls out this, a taser thing. And he turns it on and he literally tried to hit me with it. So I jumped back a little bit and I was like, okay, here's all my money. Take it. Please give me my suitcase back. I gotta go. So because I'm kind of running late for the plane, so I really need to go. So I'm on my way to the airport. I got in, I got my bag, and I'm praying that it's not overweight or somehow that the Lord just, you know, makes it all good. And so I'm still in a little bit of shock. Had no time to even call his company or deal with that. You know, I gotta leave. And so I'm walking into the airport, getting into the line, standing, thinking about all of this, praying and thinking, like, okay, well, that was the last of my money. So I get in the line and I weigh my bag and it's overweight. So I have to pay. It's a lot overweight because I'm bringing all these gifts for you guys, you know. So don't feel guilty or anything. It's worth it. I mean, it's worth it. And God has a way. So I put it on and she looks at me. She says, you have to pay. You have to pay extra. And I'm like, I don't have any money. The cab driver just took it away from me. And she said, what? I said, yeah. And I couldn't deal with that because I got to be here, you know, in this line and another line. So I couldn't deal with it. I mean, I blessed him. It's fine. But I just have no money. Would you bless me now? And she said, sure. So she lets it through. And I'm... I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea whether she's a Christian or not. But I think there's going to be more and more of that happening where people are going to be doing things they don't even understand. Are you hearing? Yeah. People are going to be doing things they don't understand because of the authority that you and I walk in. Because of the authority that you and I live in. When he left us, Jesus, when he left us, he gave us the Holy Spirit, who is our authority, who's with us 24/7. Do you believe it? I love it. I don't think we think about it enough. I think we think about it only when we are in a hot spot, I call it. Not a hot seat or chair or whatever you use for that, but a hot spot. Where you are kind of forced to you know, be afraid a little. When you're like, okay, this taser thing is a bit scary. And then you're really trusting the power that is within you, the authority that he's giving you. Because in the natural, I couldn't fight with him. I mean, look at me. We do have a gym. Some people do go there, but not me. I have a different kind of gym, different kind of workout. But, you know, so I, you know, got through and then I'm getting to Amsterdam, and in the Amsterdam, of course, I'm praying for Ukraine because it was just a disaster. And then I get off the plane and I'm still in this mode of just thinking it all through, trying to process it with my mind, with my spirit. And then I sit down in this cafe. I didn't realize that if you sit in that area, you have to buy something. So, you know, there's always those little tables and chairs. So I sit down and I'm thinking, you know, it's just free for everybody. There's freedom. I'm everywhere. I'm out of my country, you know. So I sit down and this waitress comes up to me and she says, anything you'd like, sir? I said, no, I can't. But would you sit with me? I have a word for you. And she said, what? And she, you know, it's Amsterdam. She has a little bit of an accent, probably stronger than mine. And I said, I have a word for you, I believe. So she sits down and then kind of gets back up and she says, I don't have much time. Is this long? I said, no, it's not going to take long. So she stands. She chooses to stand. I look up at her and you guys, I see a mother. And that's what I prayed. I prayed for her being a mom. She starts to cry and she says, I couldn't get pregnant in a long time. So I received that. She received that word because the Lord gave her a word of hope that she's going to be the mother. And so, I mean, that's a long story. So she sits down and she says, I have a lunch break. I mean, I have a lunch break about 15 minutes. Would you like my lunch? I said, sure. So it's actually a coffee and a muffin. And it was nice because I like coffee. Sometimes I like coffee breath. But it was such a blessing. You know, when you are in a place like that, when you have no money, when you are trusting the Lord, not just for your own life, but for the lives of your nation, people in your nation, the entire nation, you just give it into His hand. You think, well, who am I to do that? But then who are you not to do that? You are the child of God. And so I did that. I prayed, and after He's blessed me with this cup of coffee and a muffin, it's not like I needed it, but He knew what I wanted. I didn't need it. Are you hearing this? But He knows what you want. And even that little He provides, because He's the provider. Isn't that awesome? So I do have, I believe, I have a message. It's on the authority. Isn't that cool? The authority of God. But I have two Bibles. This one's really heavy. English Bibles are really heavy. It's a good workout, you know. But I believe I'll be reading out of Philippians. Philippians. Just flip it with me. I mean, I don't know if I will, because you all read the Bible, so I'm not sure. But I do want to share a little bit about what's actually politically happening in Ukraine that they do not show on TV. And as you, Pastor Dave, was saying that I was going to stay a little longer, I probably won't. I mean, stay a little shorter this time. I probably won't. I probably will stay like the normal ticket, because we've prayed and I fasted and there's been confirmation after confirmation that I am here for a reason, and the Lord has a reason for everything. I mean, He has a better plan. So He spoke to me about speaking on the radio, speaking on the news. So there's going to be, I'm going to be probably hiding. I'm not going to be in the camera because, well, I have to go back to Ukraine. So I don't want to say too much that, you know, I don't want to put my name out there. But I will be meeting with several different reporters, and I'll be on the radio somewhere locally as well to tell the truth of what's actually happening in Ukraine. And I believe I can be a little more fruitful here now than I can be back at home. I'm not going to go fight. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And so the Lord really spoke to me to stay a little longer. So I'm staying a little longer, which is really hard because, as you know, I love my country. I'd love to go back. I mean, if it was just up to me, I'd just go. But I have to be here, which I also, okay, you know, yay. So Philippians chapter 2, and then while you're opening that, this is what's actually happening in Ukraine. When all of that shooting began, which was like 3 weeks ago, I think, in Kyiv, this is what actually happened. The peaceful citizens of Ukraine, like us, we started to protest about the president's decision not entering European Union. This was the decision. He didn't want to sign the agreement that we are EU, you know. So everybody started to protest, especially young people, because everybody wants to travel to Europe without having to apply to get a visa. And so they were protesting just about that. It was a peaceful protest. It was about 10,000 people at first. Then it was, you know, 100,000. Then it turned into 2 million. When the police came out, it was 2 million people on this square, you know. And so they're standing. It was packed. I mean, it was packed. I don't know if they really show it on the news as much over here, but it was packed. You couldn't really walk through. And so when the police came out with weapons, rubber bullets, they started to shoot at first. Then the peaceful citizens started to create these barricades in the center of Kyiv. And the whole thing is that it's the government decided they needed, well, the president needed to proclaim or declare stage of emergency, right? Do you have that term? A stage of emergency. But he couldn't because there wasn't enough of battle going on. So this is what happened. Government workers in technical schools that we ministers, our True Hope team, ministers daily, all those dorms and technical schools and trade schools and, you know, all those facilities that we minister at and preach the gospel and teach them who God really is. We were there and all the orphans were gathered, only orphans were gathered in a gym of the school, and the teachers and the director, the management, they would be there to tell them, we're going to pay you $25, converted into hryvnia. We're going to pay you $25 so you go and fight for your nation. It's not like you have anybody to come back to. Fight till you die. You don't have a family to return to. That's how they told them to go and fight. These kids have been rejected enough. And they're rejecting them again. Isn't that the enemy's plan? That's an obvious plan of the enemy. So they were gathered and sent. A lot of them had no money coming from the government because the government's been shut down for, you know, almost 4 months. So there's been no money coming into the orphans' accounts at all. So they have no money. The little money that they normally get, which is $120 a month, they weren't getting that. So then they are kind of forced to take the $25 a day because that's a decent, you know, that's decent money a day for them, especially when you have nothing. So a lot of them said yes. And then when I found out, I started to email and call the ministers and call the kids and email, probably sent like 500 emails a day to let them know, do not go. We'll feed you. If that's all you're going for, we'll feed you. Don't go. But they were going to protest, not for the side of the peaceful citizens. They were going, the kids were sent, and a lot of them did go. They were sent, they were in the crowd of peaceful citizens, the protesters, but they were doing things out of the order of this crowd. So they would throw a cocktail into the policemen. So they were picking a fight, really. That's what they were told to do. They were picking a fight so the police could shoot back, so that the president could announce the stage of emergency. It's not on TV, is it? Lots of orphans are being sent to Crimea right now, which is the very bottom in the south right there. Lots of them are being sent there now. Buses and buses. They're sending them so those kids are paid to say, I'm Ukrainian, I want to be Russian. So we really need to start praying. This is our fight, you guys. When I prayed, I had such a great revelation when I saw that vision that this is the time not for politics to decide. Politics can't do anything anyway. They only talk and then they're politically correct. We don't need to be that nice. In the spirit, we can just pray. It's a fight. I believe this is the time for the church to rise up. I believe this is the time for missionaries to rise up and stand strong. Stand together for a nation. And honestly, I believe this is just, you know, one nation, but we're praying for the entire world. Because this could happen anywhere. I never thought that our country would ever fight. We're pretty nice people. I think. So that's kind of what's happening in Ukraine, you guys. Just a little update. So, of course, we're trying to keep our ministry's focus temporarily, I believe very short temporarily, changed. So we're actually taking the orphan refugees, like they don't have enough of a title. We're taking them into the church. We're taking them into ministers' apartments and houses, basically anywhere we can find a bed for them or not even a room, a corner to sleep in. We're taking because they're running away from the facilities that are making them go to all these places. The ones that don't want to go, they're looking for a place to live at and so they could eat something, you know. So really our ministry's focus temporarily changed. That's what we're doing. We're taking them in. We're providing a safe place. We're feeding them. That's the biggest right now because they're all hungry and there's a lot of them. But I believe this time is for us to pray. To pray and pray and pray. And Philippians chapter 2. This is the authority, you guys. We walk in a great authority. Do you believe that? There's so much authority. It says that his God's weakness, this is a different scripture, God's weakness is stronger than your strength. Isn't that amazing? But in my weakness, he is strong. Can you say amen to that? Can you think about it? In my weakness, he is strong. When you have no way around you, when you have no way out, he is strong to help you out. It's so awesome to know that. And really, really just, I mean, I love God. Do you love God? I love God. I want to share another testimony with you before we read that, because you have it open already. I was in Ukraine, and the last week of my leaving to come here is always like a test. So it's a lot of everything happening. And then I got it's a long story. I'm going to make it short. I got a text from a friend of mine who's used to live with me, and he said, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, very simple conversation. And I said, "Hey, good. How are you? Have you seen Sasha?" I haven't seen Sasha in like, you know, a year and a half. So he says, "Yeah, he's a slave for gypsies." And then he stops texting me. And I'm like, "What?" So I'm texting back, like, "What are you talking about? Where are you? Where is he?" And he doesn't reply. So I started to look for Sasha in all of these gypsy areas in the city. We have about 5 of them around the city. They're like tiny little villages within the city. So we did a lot of evangelism there. So I went with the minister at first, and then I went by myself to the last one that I had to go. And so I get there. And I'm asking for somebody in charge, who's the owner of the house, we usually ask. So I asked who the owner of the house is, and this guy comes out. His name is Slavik, and he's a, you know, 100% gypsy, the look, everything. And he looks at me, he says, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" With an accent, because I don't speak good Russian or Ukrainian. So he's speaking to me, you know, all angry and mad, like, "What are you doing on my property?" I said, "I'm actually looking for Sasha. He's somewhere here. Do you know where he's at? He's somewhere here living, I believe. And I know he's, you know, a slave." I didn't tell him that, but I know he's being a slave to the gypsies. So he says, "Yes, I'm in charge. I'm Baron," which means like the leader of the tribe. And I said, "All right, well, you know, Slavik, I need you to help me find Sasha." And he said, "He's here. Sasha, come out." So he yells. Sasha comes out of this almost a little bigger than a doghouse place, and he's on the chain and on a leash. This is the boy that lived with me for over a year. And then he wanted to try and live independently, and then, you know, it just, he disappeared. Nobody could find him. And he comes out, and I could barely recognize him. It was skin and bones. And I mean, his hair was never washed, what seemed like to me. So I'm all looking at it, and I mean, my heart was hurting to see that. So I come up to him. I said, "Sasha, are you okay?" He said, "Max, what are you doing here? You can't be here." I said, "Sasha, I'm not leaving without you. I'm leaving with you." So I'm standing there. I said, "Slavik, I need to take Sasha with me." And he looks at me and kind of smiles. By the time we're talking all of this, there's more gypsies getting together. They're all like one big happy family. They're really loud. They're coming out. They're yelling. They're with these babies and all of this men, husbands. I mean, there's a lot of them. And I have no idea where they came out of. This is a tiny house. So they're coming out. There's like at least 30 of them out there. So they're blocking my way out. And not that I'm trying to leave yet, because Sasha's still tied up. And I said, "Slavik, I need to take Sasha with me." And he said, "Well, what good would that do? Look at your car. It doesn't have wheels anyway. They took off the wheels of my car. So my car is standing on like 4 or 5 bricks." I look, you know, because there's all of them are standing right here. I look behind the fence, and I'm looking. It really is on the bricks. So I'm like, "All right, Lord." And that's at this point, my knees started to shake. You know, I'm not that bold. I'm bold in the spirit. So my knees are shaking. I'm happy, you know, it wasn't summer, so I'm not wearing shorts. Otherwise, they would see it. So they're kind of jumpy. And I'm like, "Okay, Lord." This is what I call a hot spot, you guys. This is what I call a hot spot and a place where you know that everything you do might make it worse in your own strength. But when you trust the one that has the right way, that is the way, you know that it's going to be good. So my prayer at that time was really short. I said, God, please help. I mean, read about all of these people in the Bible that we know, all the apostles, all the people that we know out of the Bible. They were put in a hot spot when the Spirit revealed himself. You know why? Because very often we don't say, God help, when we know how to do it. When we know how to handle it. I've got this. I'm going to invite God for the things that I can't do. Isn't that how we normally do it? So to activate the Spirit, the authority within us, is to actually say, I'm inviting you and I'm allowing for you to do what you want to do. Or sometimes he forces us to activate it when you are in a hot spot like this. The Holy Spirit is activated. The authority is activated in you. And so when I'm standing there and I said, God help. And I'm looking at this 30 people gypsies crowd. And then behind me there's Slavic and Sasha's right here. So I'm looking at them and my car in the background. And I'm thinking, well, I really don't care about any of this. I just care about leaving with Sasha. So I said, God help. And after I said that, it was like this huge wave that covered me with the authority. It wasn't just his presence. His presence carries so much. But it was the authority to speak. And it would be done. The things that we read in the Bible were, if you speak to a mountain, it will be moved. I mean, to a mountain. So I'm standing, and you guys, I've never been scared to speak, really, until that moment. Every letter that would come out of my mouth, I was aware of. I knew that every sound I will make, it will actually appear. It would happen. That's how much authority I felt I had. So I'm almost nervous to say extra things and worried and scared to say extra things that mean nothing. But I knew that if I say that, Slavik, you're going to regret this and all. If I said, I mean, I wanted to say a lot. But I was scared to say all that because all of a sudden I had the revelation. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I have this authority within me. Every word that I will say will happen. The world is all of a sudden obedient to you because of the Spirit within you, because of the authority that he's giving you. So I turned back to Slavik and I said very quietly, the gypsies are yelling. I mean, they're yelling at me, at Sasha, at Slavik. I mean, they're just yelling. It's just like a not pleasant sound background. So I'm talking to Slavik. I'm turning to Slavik and I said, Slavik, I need you to untie Sasha. He's going with me. That's all that I said. He said, all right. So he goes, he undoes this thing, and then he sends another guy to undo the chain. So they really release him. And I said, and I need your men to put the wheels back onto my car. He said, no problem. So he sends 5 or 6 guys to do that. They're doing that in like 3 minutes. And I'm standing, I'm watching all this, and I'm realizing that every word that I say is happening. So I'm even more scared to say extra. I mean, I'm trembling before the Lord, not before the gypsies anymore. Yes, my flesh, my knees were still shaking and all that, but my spirit was at peace. And I knew that this authority comes only from the Lord. So of course, Sasha's coming with me. And the gypsies are yelling. And I'm all of a sudden, you guys, I'm understanding everything they're saying. I thought they were screaming in Russian or Ukrainian. And I turned to Sasha. I said, did you hear that? Now they're yelling at us for, you know, leaving. We're leaving at peace and they're yelling at us. And he said, Max, that gypsy, I don't understand that. I said, oh. So I turned back to Slavik. I said, Slavik, I probably will see you again. There is a father for you too. And we leave. I get into a car. Sasha gets into the car. We're leaving. We're driving for 40 minutes without talking really. We're just praying. I'm praying because I'm all just freaked out. And so we're praying. And then Sasha says, Max, what was that? Why were they listening to you? He never listens to anybody. Why was he listening to you? I said, Sasha, this is God. This is the kind of God that you and I serve. He can do all things anywhere as long as we let him. And he said, Max, I'm so sorry. I said, why? He said, I forgot my passport there. So I'm thinking, I'm not going back. You know, once you've been in that authority, you really don't want to come out of it, but you don't want to test it. So you got to have the wisdom. So I'm thinking, okay, I need to call somebody that's in that tribe. So I said, do you have anybody's number? He said, yeah, I have Slavic's number. So I called Slavic with this attitude, you know, Slavic, I believe Sasha misplaced his passport somewhere in your house. I don't believe you took it by, you know, by force. I believe he just misplaced it. So would you give it back? And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. And I'm like, okay, it's still working. So, I mean, really, I'm really testing. You know, I really, it was just a new place. So I'm saying, okay, Slavic, I need the passport tomorrow sharp 1 o'clock. And he said, okay, you'll be there, you know, no problem, at coffee place. So actually, McDonald's was a coffee place for me. So because it's a public place, I'm being wise. And then he doesn't come. It's 5 to 1. I'm sitting there next day. And I called him. I said, Slavic, I'm here. It's 5 to 1. You're nowhere near. What's happening? And he said, oh, Max, I'm so sorry. I couldn't make it. I sent somebody over. They have the passport. Don't worry. They're coming in. And then I see the gypsy coming in because they're a bit darker. I mean, they stand out. So I see one coming in. So I grab my coffee. I come up to this guy. He says, I have a passport for you. I said, okay, well, give it to me. So he gives me the passport. He says, thank you. I said, no problem. So I'm kind of confused why he, you know, and then I come to my car and there's like 6 gypsies standing by my car, just watching. And I'm like, hey, you guys, are you here to take off wheels again? And they're like, no, we're just making sure nobody does. You guys, this is God's way. This is God's way. So Sasha, of course, is at my house now, and he's the 6th boy, which we didn't even have a room. But good thing I left. He can use my bed. So, but before I left, it was just, I mean, he was hurt. He was there for almost a year and a half as a slave, a little over a year as a slave, you guys. And that's, I believe, that's our battle. When missionaries are being told on TV not to go to Ukraine because it's too dangerous, forget that. It's all political. I mean, they're telling us in schools not to preach the gospel. Well, you, not us. They're telling you. I actually went to a few of your universities, and you know what they offered me? They invited me to speak on the miraculous, but they said, could you please not mention Jesus? I thought that was odd. So, of course, I said, no, that's just, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't happen. The miraculous does not happen without Jesus. The miraculous does not happen without Jesus. The authority we live in every day, are you hearing this? The authority we live in every day can be activated by you choosing it. Choose it. I want to choose that. I want to live it. I want to walk in that. Every word that I say, I want it to be effective. I want my words to save, not to destroy. That's how much authority there is in our words. And I will give you another very short little testimony. You can read Philippians chapter 2, starting from verse 1 through, I mean, the whole chapter is great. It's really the message the Lord has given me for you, I believe, for me, I believe, really. But he's reminding us of how much we need to have love for one another. How much love we need to have for one another. He loved us first, and we say, I love you, God. But we actually love him back because he loved us first. So read the Philippians chapter 2 and the rest of the Bible. But I will share another testimony because the time is short. Another testimony that's really awesome because the Father God is just so cool. The testimony is about some of our ministers being locked up in prison. We were in Crimea, actually, that bottom little piece in Crimea. We have ministers out there that live there, that minister all the time to the orphans and the widows and the prostitutes. We call them pearls. And to the handicaps and all of that. We love that ministry because it's just really exciting. I mean, you really cover everybody. It's so cool. So they were doing ministry in the orphanages and the dorms for the teenagers, difficult teenagers. And then we've been praying for this one prison to get into this prison. And we couldn't. For probably 3 years, we couldn't get into it. They wouldn't let us in. I sent a bunch of papers, a bunch of letters. I asked and asked. They wouldn't let us in. So we've prayed and prayed and prayed. And then the next thing we find out that 6 of our ministers are locked up in prison. This prison that we pray to get into. I mean, think about it. We pray to get into, to break into this prison, you know. We pray to really just get in there and preach the gospel. So 6 ministers get locked up in there. And I'm like, all right, Lord, this is different. But how do we do it? It's always a new area. It's always a new, when you are not familiar with what to do right now, right here, when you don't have any wisdom in this, when you don't have any knowledge in here, you kind of just trust on the Lord. That's a good place to be at. He says, poor in the spirit will inherit the kingdom. That means that you realize that everything that's happening today means nothing. And all your degrees mean nothing because he's the God of new. So you really want to rely on him. So I'm relying and leaning on him and I'm saying, God, I need you to tell me what to do. What do we do? He said, go out there. So I'm putting a team together. We're going out. We're getting to the prison. We're standing by the prison. They're not even letting us in because they know we're, you know, one team. And so they're not letting us in, but we're standing by the window and they're on the 4th floor in a cell. They're locked. They've been locked up for like 3 days already or 4 days or something. And they're still in there and we're standing by the prison and we're screaming, trying to figure out which window it is, you know? And so they finally open this tiny little window and they're looking out and waving at us and showing us they're doing okay. And we're like, okay, they're good. Yay. And then, you know, we're screaming, asking, how are things going? Are they treating you okay? Did anybody get saved? And they're like, yes, they're screaming. Yes. And they're screaming, you know, throw us some paper, get us some paper in here. So I'm screaming, we're going to get you a piece of paper and a pen. And I'm screaming this. And then I turned to my team. I said, you guys, how are we going to get it in? Because it's 4th floor, you know, the windows are really tiny. And sometimes you say things and then you really think about it. And you're like, okay, this is kind of impossible. We really need God's help because they're not even letting us in. So I said, guys, do you have any ideas how we're going to get it in? And they said, yeah. How about we just, you know, one of my boys says, how about we just tie it up to a rock and throw the rock? I said, great idea. Let's do it. So you really don't, when you don't have an idea, you trust the other idea. So he's tying it up and he's throwing it and he gets it in like second time. He gets it into the window. So they have a piece of paper and they're showing to us pencil or pen. We didn't get that in. So he's tying up another rock with a pencil and then he throws it in. Into window next to it and breaks it. I mean, I'm sure those people in that cell did not really know what was happening, but they were probably punished for it. I mean, we all get a little bit of that spanking for the gospel, you know, so they'll know it later. But, you know, so we're trying another rock, we're tying up another pen and we're throwing it and finally they get it in. And so they're writing to us that 16 people got saved already in prison. And it's a huge prison. So we're like, okay, 16 is not enough. How long are they going to be in there until more get saved, you know? So we're thinking about it. Then another piece of paper flies down and it's this tiny little square. And I'm thinking, we gave you a big piece of paper and you're writing this. And there's one word in it, you guys, bathtub. So I'm thinking, well, okay. And I'm screaming, you guys, what do you mean? What's a bathtub? What are you talking? As I'm screaming, being mad at them, I realize that it's bathtub. You know, they're going to baptize people in the bathtub. That's how we usually do it in prison. So they baptized 16 people that were saved. Wait. It's going to get better. And so we're standing there and we're screaming and asking, you know, what's happening, whatever. So they wrote us more and more. And then they were released on the 7th day. They were there 6 full days. On the 7th day in the morning, they were, I wouldn't say released. They were kicked out by the workers because they said they made too much mess. Almost 280 people were saved and baptized. Yes, isn't that amazing? They said, this is too much a mess for us. One bathtub cannot handle that many baptisms. So we're so excited. I mean, they're taking a kind of a sabbatical from doing ministry in prison right now. They're doing ministry, you know, in orphanages because it's safer. But we're doing the rest and the other part of the team. Isn't that exciting, though? That's the God that we serve. That's the authority that He gives us. So be careful in how you word your prayers, because that matters too. I mean, we just want to break into prison, and then you don't know how that's going to happen. We didn't. And then we were doing ministry at the highway to the Pearls. This is really cool. One of my favorite ministries, because my first time I actually ended up paying this girl. But I mean, for her hour to talk, because she was too distracted. And now we have a whole team of women, ministers, you know, drivers that are just going and serving. And so I went this time with my car as a driver, because the women usually talk to women. It's safer. And I went as a driver to serve. And then I come out and we brought some gifts for them. I think it was around Christmas time, our Christmas, so January 6 or 7 or 8 or somewhere there. So we get there, we brought some gifts, and I pulled it out of the trunk. And then as I'm coming up to the Pearls and the ministers, I see somebody's in my trunk already. Somebody else, not a woman, some man is in the trunk. And I'm waving and I'm like, hey, I can see you, how's it going? And I mean, this is a highway, not many people walk around there. So you know that he's a part of the deal. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what's happening? And he says, it's all good. And he shuts the trunk and walks away. I'm like, all right, that's fine, I guess. And so we're ministering. And then one girl chooses to get off the highway, Oksana. We've been praying for her for a long time. She chooses to walk away. She finally makes that step. So we get her into the car. All the ministers get in. And we're leaving to go to the detox hospital to get all the papers done, and because she has no identity, no paperwork at all. And so we're leaving. And then a police pulls me over. Which this time I wasn't even speeding. I don't know why. So they're pulling me over. I normally speed, but this time I wasn't. So they pull me over, and I'm like, okay, what's happening, Lord? Why are they? Why so much? It's too much. This is an exciting time. The ministers are excited talking to this Oksana girl, and I'm like a little concerned. And then they said, open your trunk. I said, well, why? I don't have anything in there. He said, open your trunk. So I'm coming out. I'm opening the trunk. And I have 4 pounds of drugs in my trunk. Well, they found out how heavy it was later. But it's this big thing. And so I'm thinking, all right. So he, of course, handcuffs on me, takes me to their station. My car is another partner of his drove that. The ministers had to walk back to, you know, into the city. And so that was different. I get into this car with handcuffs. I've never seen him on me. So I'm looking at these and I'm like, Lord, what's happening? I have lots of questions. And I turned to this guy and I said, listen, do you know that you're going to release me? And he said, no, I won't. And then I'm trying to text my ministers to tell him that I'm okay. And he takes my phone away. I said, I really would like it if you didn't take my phone. Because that's how I talk to people. And he said, I know, but you're not allowed to. You're a criminal. I said, you don't know that yet. I mean, you don't know which one of us. So we got into this conversation. And then I told him what we actually do. And he said, I know what you do. I know exactly what you do. I said, can you believe that I actually know what you do? Under this cover-up of a suit of a policeman. And he said, yeah, so what? You can't do anything about it. I'm in authority to do things. I said, we'll see. I have a bigger authority. We'll see. So we're coming to the station. And I say good things, but inside I'm nervous. You know, so we're coming into the station. They sit me down for an hour. They're talking, interrogating, which, I mean, I will tell you anything. Ask me. I don't have any secrets. So they're asking, and I said, oh, I feel I'm going to leave by lunch. And he says, you're not leaving. And then their boss comes in. He looks at me with these big eyes. I don't know him. He looks at me and then he says, "You both come out," angry. So he takes them out. I can hear him yelling, swearing, waving, something, something. And then he comes in, he hands me the phone back and he says, "I'm so sorry. You can go." That was it. I have a bigger authority. You and I, we have a bigger authority. A way bigger of authority. When the government is trying to block the Holy Spirit, they can't. When the people are trying to stop the Holy Spirit, they can't. There's so much authority within you that's been given to you to use that. I feel even now there's somebody in this room who's getting healing for their heart, physical heart. I feel there's somebody right now who's been having problems with your heart. I really do. I feel this very strongly. Somebody had a problem with your, you don't have to show me because I don't care about that. God does. This is his way of letting you know I'm healing your heart, your physical heart. And I feel there's something with somebody's blood. He's cleansing that. And you maybe didn't even know that your blood caused some of your sicknesses. I feel the Lord is healing that now. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the healing that you have for all of us. We thank you for the authority we can walk in. We thank you for the authority we can live in. And the fact that we can trust you 24/7 and know that you are the God of everything. You are the God that saves. You are the God that rescues. You are the God that protects. You are the God that loves. You are the Father that never leaves and never forsakes. You are the Father who's always there. Somebody's left knee. The Lord is healing that right now. And if it's not you here, but you know somebody has been having problems with the left knee for a while, he's healing that right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your healing presence. We thank you for the authority that you gave us, the authority to move the mountains, the authority to heal and speak to the sickness and tell it to go away. So we speak to the sickness and we tell it to go away now. We thank you, Father, for your authority. Hallelujah. Thank you.